Well, you know what I know that will pick you up?
What was that?
Listening to a sultry voice of Paul Preston talking to us about movies.
Oh, I love Paul's voice.
Yes.
Oh, man.
The man, the myth, the legend, the voice we love to hear every week.
It's time.
It's time.
Paul
Yeah, how you doing, Paul?
Yeah, gentlemen, it's time to talk film and all that.
How are you, Paul?
Oh, damn decent, Sean. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick, before we start with the movies and everything, I want to ask, how did your stand-up go at Flappers?
Hey, look for Paul Preston out on the stand-up circuit. It went great. You know, in the interest of too much information, I had a vasectomy a while back. And boom! 7 minutes of material right there, just presenting itself.
Yeah, that's about how long it takes.
Wow, that's a long time.
So, no problem. Just, just that 7 minutes just appeared like, you know, like Mufasa in the clouds. I was like, there it is! My next routine! So, yeah, it went great. You know, I prepped it and I'd done the thing. You know, I went out to some open mics and prepped it and did great once and tanked once. And so by the time I hit the audience who weren't, you know, these open mics are just other stand-up comedians most of the time.
Right.
And once I realized that, you know, you realize, oh, this is a no-risk room. Just try everything and see what happens.
Yeah, see what
happens. You know, when you get in front of a paying audience that it matters. And it went very well. Big response. You know, and when the other comedians are sort of calling you back to, you know, like, oh, you know, that one guy got a – he asked if – somebody in the audience had a vasectomy and no one said, get out of here. Like, so that's fun when they sort of
kind
bring
of reference
back.
You. Yeah.
You have a presence throughout the night. So that was fun. Yeah. And more to come. I'm out there. I'll be Flappers again.
Well, you know, buddy, we will promote you as much as we can. And I try to promote it. I try to share it on our Facebook page, but for whatever reason, I couldn't. It would let me go. I would say, okay, share. It would pop up and, you know, ask me what page I want to do it on or whatever. But then there was no share button for me to post it. It was really weird.
I'm in the witness protection program.
Ah, okay. No wonder. Got it. Got it. Okay.
Well, and November 11th, back at Flappers again at 9:30. So there you go. And then I'll be in Van Nuys at a comedy club at
nice.
The 22nd, I believe.
Well, we will definitely promote it for you, brother.
So if you're looking for who Preston used to be,
right.
you
yeah,
can
exactly.
find him there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
A schmuck like everybody else.
All right, brother. Let's get on to the movies, my friend.
Hey, look, first of all, I always get on and listen to the beginning of the show, except for today. I was delayed. I couldn't get on. I jump in, and it sounds like you were talking about Westerns.
Yeah, I've been watching some old Westerns lately this week. And so the two that I really got into was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and then also High Noon.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say High Noon. That is, do you guys have a movie, jail movie? Like, that movie you should have seen by now, but you haven't? Now, I don't know if culturally the world is clamoring for me to see High Noon. There's probably plenty of people who haven't seen it. But it is the highest ranked movie on AFI's top 100 of all time that I have not seen.
I
feel a little guilty about that. Like, up until a few years ago, A Christmas Story was my movie, jail. That one's a little more guilty.
Really?
I felt bad, but I had to go out and see it. So.
Wow.
Oh, I just saw Hocus Pocus, too. I don't know if that's movie jail, but since it kind of comes up annually, I kind of felt like, oh, I need to see this. Also, it was terrible. So, there's...
Yeah. Oh, sorry, did I?
Do you guys have a movie jail movie? Like, if you haven't seen Shawshank, you know, like that's certainly movie jail. But, you know, some other movies, you know, it's kind of the debate of what is a movie jail movie is also pretty fun, too.
I think it's one of those, I mean, to me, it's one of those that is very, very popular that you've, you know, really never seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you feel like everybody else has watched it, you know.
Yeah, like, I've never seen Snatch. Is that a... is that a movie jail movie? The Guy Ritchie film? A lot of people love that movie and quote it all the time, around me at least.
You need new friends.
Well, like to me,
to me, the
perfect movie jail movie is like The Princess Bride.
Yeah, people that haven't seen that are like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have picked up your slack, trust me.
Yeah. 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 That one or like Spaceballs. I think is another one. Blazing Saddles.
Oh my God! Did you, I wanted to know if this was true or not? And I'm glad you're here. I just remembered I was going to ask you, Paul.
Yes.
I read an article talking about History of the World Part 2.
Yes.
It's for real.
It's for real. Hulu is it's going to be a series, probably. Mm. I mean, I'm guessing, but it seems like since that was kind of an anthology of stories, it would benefit itself to just be each episode is a different period of history.
Right.
As we slowly make our way to the present or perhaps the future or perhaps to Jews in space. So Mel Brooks is behind it. He's executive producing and helping to write. I don't think he's directing, he's 95. He's like, I still got it. I still want to do something. And I love that. That's great. Go for it, man.
All right. I'm glad now.
No.
I may get Hulu just for that.
As long as Mel is alive, he needs to continue to do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I know. The producers are so much fun on stage, you know, but it was his made a film in forever. And he did a voice in Toy Story 4, maybe even 3 and 4, certainly 4, I remember. He voiced one of those older, he and Carol Burnett, like they got a bunch of legends to voice a bunch of the older toys in Bonnie's closet. Well, he was Mellifont Brooks.
Mellifont Brooks, that's funny.
He was an elephant in the.
That's funny.
and I know Carol Burnett, I think it was a chair.
Mellifont Brooks.
He did the Transylvania movies.
You're right.
He played the older Dracula character.
Yeah.
You know, and oh God, he was so good in that too. Just, you know.
So it's fun seeing him do that. But yeah, I mean, getting out there and directing would be great. He is 95. We can't ask too much of him. But the fact that he got passionate enough about this to jump on board as EP and producer, I mean, hopefully it bullseyes it. I hope.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Paul. So tell us, what should we go see now?
Well, I just saw it brand new. Is Last Night in Soho, the new Edgar Wright film. If you like Edgar Wright from his Cornetto trilogy, which was Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End. And, of course, Scott Pilgrim, Baby Driver. He's a super energetic, eclectic filmmaker. And Last Night in Soho is no different. High energy. But new material for him, which was cool. You've got a girl who considers herself a bit of a visionary, a seer. You know, she sees visions, sees her dead mother. And, you know, oftentimes it's not a bad thing. It's comforting, but she sees things. And so when she gets into this one room in a hotel in the Soho area of London, because she's going to college for the first time, heading away from home, she sees visions of this woman who used to live there. And that character is played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who was in Queen's Gambit, and is a big deal actress now, and is very good. And the lead actress is Thomasin McKenzie, who is coming on strong. I think she's great. She was in Jojo Rabbit as the girl who kind of lived in the
Wall.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And she was in Old, too. She played one of the daughters in Old out on the island where everyone was growing old in that Shyamalan film. Uh-huh. She's fantastic in this. I think those are two of the young actresses I enjoy watching a lot lately. They're both really good, and they spearhead a pretty excellent film. That she starts to see visions of what this girl, what her life was like, and starts to see kind of herself in the role, and kind of goes mad, flying back and forth between reality and this girl from the past's reality. And every once in a while it hits points where it's like, oh, is that real? No, it's not. Oh, is that real? No, it's not. And I get they're trying to do some jump scares and some other stuff, but doesn't always work. But I was just dying for a satisfying ending, and it was, very satisfying ending.
Cool.
So I can recommend that one. And of course, Edgar Wright, as I mentioned, makes a movie just real kinetic, real fun, and
so this
pulls
one,
all the
this
stops
one,
out.
So this one basically ends like a Snickers. It's satisfying.
It ends like a Snickers. Put that on the poster. And you also have Diana Riggs' last performance. She plays the landlady who rents out the room to the main character, and she just chews all her words. If you remember her, she, of course, goes back years to like the original Avengers playing Emma Peel, but most recently was Lady Tyrell in Game of Thrones. And she can deliver a sharp, you know, sentence like better than nobody out there. She was really fun to listen to as just sort of a snarky landlady. But I enjoy that film quite a bit. If you like Edgar Wright, check it out. If you don't, go there in order to like him. And there were surprises at the end. It's a good film.
Good.
In that vein, yes. I'll skip Dune and go to another movie I enjoyed. The Last Duel is also great, with Matt Damon and Jodie Comer and Ben Affleck, and that is a Ridley Scott film. So if you know this movie at all, you might have seen trailers out there. It's right in Ridley Scott's wheelhouse. This is the director of Kingdom of Heaven and Gladiator, and so this is 1300s France, knights, guys on horses, and with Affleck and Damon in there, I tend to just shorten it to Goodwill Jousting. But and what I wasn't aware of until the movie started is that this is their
Goodwill Jousting.
I mean, I don't know how many scripts they've written. I mean, they wrote Goodwill Hunting and won the Oscar and were like the hot, you know, duo out there. Then they did a bunch of acting. Yeah, Affleck moved into directing, and he's really good at that. And they have, I don't know how much more they've written, but they co-wrote this one. And I thought it was fantastic. And it's a shame it's kind of getting buried under Halloween Kills and No Time to Die and Dune, because I found it satisfying, more satisfying than Dune for sure. It wasn't a great time for women, the 1300s, turns out. And this movie hits it on the head. A character literally at one point says, you can't be pregnant from a rape. That's just science. And I just laughed out loud at that line.
Oh, my God.
Because that could have come out of Congress today, you know. but, yeah, Matt Damon plays this war hero and land, but not a great, like, not a well-revered war hero. Like, he has all these great war stories and kills, but somehow he just can't get on top of his game. He's always poor, and so he wants to marry this woman just for the dowry and make the money off of marrying her and get this land. And he's so petty, and he's such a jerk. Like, but he's the lead, so it's interesting to sort of watch him. And like, at one point, his wife claims that she was raped by this other man who's a friend of his, and his response is, "Oh, how could he do this to me?" You know, like, that's the era. Yeah. We're dealing with in this movie. And then, of course, it all comes to an end with this duel between Adam Driver and Matt Damon that is just vintage Ridley Scott, just ugly and bloody and, you know, dirt and mud and spit, and it's just great. So I thought that film was really fun. You got to kind of, you know, set yourself up for what you're getting into. If you like Goonies or whatever, it's not for you. But if you like an adult...
Hey, little guys!
All right. If you like adult dramas with, you know, period piece thrown in there and tons of good actors. Jodie Comer was the lead in Free Guy, the female there. So she's having a great year. She was great in this, too.
All right. We only got a few more minutes with you, Paul. But I want to ask, though, you mentioned Dune a couple of times. This version compared to the older version.
Well, the older version was so bad, I never saw it. But that's not movie jail, because everyone says it's bad.
Right.
So I never saw it.
So is this one just as bad, or is this one maybe a little bit better? Because I heard that they're supposed to be doing like a trilogy on this thing, right?
Well, first of all, that was a super cynical move for me to sit down, and then it says, Dune, part one. I'm like, what? You need to put that on the poster, part one. And sure enough, the ending is not satisfying. So, unlike Last Night in Soho, you know, which is a full story.
Right.
So I'm like, do I need more of this? You know, the first hour is like all politics. And then I watched this. I don't know the book. I didn't see that David Lynch adaptation. And there was a mini series, I believe, on Sci-Fi. Uh-huh. I never saw any of this. This is my first introduction. And after I watched it, I went, what is it about this? I wonder that got people so excited in the first place that they're dying for some authentic representation of it on the screen, because I don't know, I couldn't get all that excited. I mean, by the end, you got one of the main characters fighting a dude we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Halfway through the fight, they kind of tell you what the rules are, and you're like, oh, those are the rules? And then it ends, and you're like, that was not the Death Star blowing up.
You know, like, got it.
I was not super satisfied. You know, it's full of good people you like seeing in a movie: Oscar Isaac, Timothée Chalamet, you know, Rebecca Ferguson, Josh Brolin. I mean, these are great people you love seeing in everything. Mm-hmm. But it never got me excited. You know, it's well done. It's, I mean, Denis Villeneuve, or Denis, I guess he's French. Denis Villeneuve, he's Canadian, French-Canadian. He made Arrival and Prisoners and Sicario and Blade Runner 2049. Like, all his movies look amazing. They're, you know, decidedly smart. And this is that. But involving? Not for me. Got people it. Who've read the book are like, this is it. He finally did it. So these are people who are in love with that material.
Got it. Okay.
And they love the film. And so, to your point, it's probably much, much better than David Lean. Or David Lean. David Lynch. David Lynch, it's not David Lean at all. David Lynch is. Right. Yeah, dude. So, yeah, it's probably an improvement. But for me, I needed a little more for it to land on my heart. Instead, it just kind of landed on my eyes. And I went, impressive looking.
Does it move too slow?
What's next?
Or is it just like a slow script, though? Or what is it?
It's just a story I don't get into.
Okay.
You know? That just happens sometimes. And even as exciting as a legendary as a story as something is, you know?
Right.
I don't necessarily get all that into The Great Gatsby. It's this legendary story. I'm like, yeah. Okay. For rich people, have problems. So,
hey, Paul, would a Snickers help?
This one lands like a Milky Way, man.
Whoa.
Paul, before we let you go, brother, what is, let's say, your top three favorite Halloween movies?
Oh, wait, movies about Halloween?
Or just Halloween in general, or scary movies or whatever. Your top three.
I'll give you
your
top three scary movies. For me, number three is probably Alien. I don't know if it counts, but in terms of a movie making me not sleep when I was 10.
Okay.
That was it. Two would be Poltergeist. I think one of the best made ghost movies there is. I mean, just in 82, too. I mean, the effects are phenomenal. Full of good actors. Spielberg has hand on it.
That's true.
You know, even though Toby Hooper directed. So it's kind of ugly at parts, like Toby Hooper, who the director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre would be known for. But then it's got this sheen of, like, great filmmaking that Spielberg's known for. That movie has everything. And also, I think I was 13. I was like, I'm not sleeping. I can't sleep. This was just
Watching TV again.
Yeah. Well, I saw it in the theater. But the number one scariest movie of all time, because you cannot, and again, you may not call it a horror movie because it has shades of all kinds of different movies. But when you keep people from swimming for 46 years, Jaws is the scariest movie I think that's ever been made. It has a profound effect on society as a whole since it came out. That is phenomenal. It is an effect a movie has had that, like no other, that is untouched. So to me, scariest movie of all time, Jaws. I mean, I went the other day to the beach. I'm like, I ain't going in.
Hey, a couple of weeks after I saw Jaws, I was up in the mountains outside of Sacramento. I was working for the State Planning Commission doing the census. So I was one of the crew leaders or something.
Uh-huh.
And I remember at our breaks, the Yuba River ran through, and we'd go down and we'd all, you know, go in the river. And I remember sitting in the river looking around going,
is there a shark coming up?
Well,
let's
see. There's rocks over there, so I'm okay this side. It's weird. It just put that feeling in you, and there's nothing you could do about it.
Even river sharks. You're like, are they the same?
Yeah. They're Sharknado, why not the river?
I actually had some friends of mine who were afraid to go swimming in a swimming pool because of Jaws. And it's like, are you shitting? Really?
It's
really?
Just the feeling. It's not rational. It's just the feeling.
There are outdoor screenings of Jaws where you sit on a floaty.
Oh, yeah.
It's in a lake, I think. Might be in a bay or something where sharks could get in. But then you watch Jaws and be like, no.
I remember I worked for the city of Bellflower, and we actually showed Jaws at the swimming pool during the summer for summer movies or whatever. You know, and the kids would come in, and everybody's still in there, and everybody's screaming and splashing and this and that when the shark comes and what have you. And it's a blast. But all right, brother, we will talk to you next time. And also, guys, don't forget you can see Paul doing his stand up at Flappers.
All right, gentlemen,
on the 11th, right? November 11th.
Bye, Paul.
Okay,
he's gone.
All right, bye, Paul.